our series of Genesis. I'm going to read from the book of Genesis this morning. So we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 8, verses 15 through 20, and then we're going to go to the book of Exodus. And my sermon title this morning is, Do You Have Gratitude? And we're going to learn about what that looks like and what that actually means this morning and how we should live according to the Word of God. And so we begin here in the story of Noah. The flood has happened. The rain has ceased. Now the dry ground is starting to appear. The ship or the ark lands. And here's where we pick up the story in verse 15. Then God said to Noah, Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. So the verse I want you to focus on this morning is verse 20 this morning, and notice what he did. And so then go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, about page 104. And then we're going to read verses 24 through 27. Now remember the Israelites, they're in Egypt. They've been set free. They're out of there. And so we get instructions then on worship. This is the first time we see any kind of instruction on worship. And so notice, follow along with what it says here. Also the last verse. We're going to focus on is verse 27. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. And so that last sentence is where we'll focus as well here this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we've read your word this morning. We pray that that word will come to life. Lord, may these words be your words and not mine. And I pray, Lord, as these words leave my mouth, that they'll resonate with those that have gathered here today in your sanctuary, those who are listening online at home as well. May you bless them with the presence of your Spirit. In Jesus I pray, amen. Today I want you to think about when we mourn the loss of somebody significant in our lives. And now they can be popular people, they could be a family member, a grandparent, an aunt or an uncle, a neighbor. But what I want you to think about is somebody that you've known, that you've lost, that made a significant impact in your life. You looked up to them. They changed the way that you live your life. I want you to think about that person here for a little bit this morning. And now listen to what I'm going to tell you next. Think about the grief when that person was called home. Maybe the shock. And at times, I want you to think about this as well, that you endured a deep sense of loss. Now, some of you can relate very well because you've had things that have happened this past year or 2 years, and you still greatly miss them. But here's what I want you to think about. When those occurrences happen in your life, it's like they give you the right to slow down in life and think about how you live your life. Things get put in order when somebody close to us that is significant to us passes away. How many of you find that when you attend a funeral, it causes you to reflect on your own life? How am I living? Anybody been there before? Yes, probably all of us, when we attend a funeral and we have a loss that's significant. So here's some questions I want you to think about as well this morning. This is what raises our thoughts when we enter into a loss like that in our life. What is most important in life? Right? Those questions come to the surface. How do I fully live so that when I die, that I am ready to go? You ever thought about that question in your life? that you are ready to go. And here's another question. Will I leave a legacy that benefits those who I leave behind? Your family members, your neighbors, your friends. That if God would call you home, would you make a difference in the way that you lived your life? And how will I build something in this life to carry into my eternal life? I want you to think about those things this morning. As humans, we often desire a life worth of significance. We want our lives to matter. And gratitude is a fundamental ingredient to a deep and meaningful life. And so here's a question that I want to bring past you this morning. Thank you, Kelsey, for doing that. What makes our life significant? All right, that's a question I want you to frame and to think about here this morning. What is it that makes your life significant? And I'm going to put a spin on that with a biblical example with you this morning. And I'm going to challenge you this Thanksgiving. Now, I know of things that you think and I think make our life significant. One is that we often find our identity in these things. And I want you to find your identity in God, your Creator, this morning. You think that your life's significant because maybe the work that you do. Nothing wrong with that. Or maybe the hobbies that you're involved in bring you joy and fulfillment. Nothing wrong with that. And maybe those things do make your life significant. What about the community that you live in? The people that you work with and associate with day in and day out? Your family, your extended family. What about the home that you have? Does that give you a life of significance? And maybe even this, maybe even the service that you give to God, you think that that gives your life great significance, doesn't it? But they do not define who you are. They're just the things that you do as you live life. If you want your life to be significant, what values or practices should I or you be doing? You ever thought about that? What makes our life significant? And so I'm going to give you that answer here this morning. The Bible says that the practice of gratitude gives us a life of significance. There's your answer this morning. All right? Through gratitude, we appreciate life's goodness, which compels you and I to pay it forward. How many of you have been in a drive-thru somewhere in a fast food restaurant and the person in front of you pays for your meal? Have any of you experienced that? Right? Yeah, I've experienced that in Sioux Falls. One day I was behind there, and you know, I can never leave Sioux Falls. If I'm on a hospital visit, you always need to stop by Dairy Queen or somewhere they got ice cream before you leave town, right? And I don't ever tell my wife or kids that's my norm. But that's my treat for today, right? Well, one time I pulled behind somebody at the McDonald's on Southern Minnesota there on 41st Street, and they bought my ice cream. I had no idea who it was. But they, you know, they must have seen me and they paid it forward, right? Gratitude is what that looks like. And what I want you to realize is that gratitude creates within us a deep sense of happiness and satisfaction. Gratitude enriches our relationships with God and society, those around you. Gratitude. So let me ask you this question. What is gratitude? It can be kind of a big church word that we often have trouble understanding in our life of what that means. And I have the definition on the bottom of the screen this morning, and here's what it is. Gratitude is the practice of actively remembering and expressing the grace and goodness given to us in our lives by God. Notice what that underlying phrase in there, that you and I actively, okay? It's an action. We're doing something with it. Out of the goodness of our hearts. And so we have a desire to show gratitude for the goodness and grace we receive in our lives. And you express that thankfulness to God, to family, to our neighbors, our co-workers, and our friends. Now jump with me to our Bible story here this morning. The story of Noah coming off the ark. So this is one of the earliest signs in the Bible that we see worship, by the way. All right? We witness one of the first acts of gratitude through the life of Noah. Now, can you imagine being on the ark for one full year? He walks off the bolt, and the first thing he does is in the verse 20 of Genesis, and he does this. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all of the clean animals and the clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings to God. That's the first recorded act that we have in Scripture, an act of gratitude. Now, if you have read this story before, it's easy to glean over this, right? But you need to realize that it's an extraordinary act of thankfulness. And that's what I want to bring out to you this morning. Now, I want you to think about the life of Noah. How many of you remember COVID? How long were we locked up, right? You couldn't go out to eat anywhere. You didn't come to church. I think we didn't have church for 10 weeks, right? You really kind of left your home to get groceries, and you wore a mask and all that. I want you to think about Noah. He was stuck in a boat for 1 year. Right? 1 year he was stuck in that boat. So you guys can relate because you went through COVID already, and you understand that and you get that. So you know what it was like not to go to a movie or go out to eat or whatever? Well, no, he's stuck in this boat for 356 days, just short of 1 year. And yet, he makes a conscious decision that I'm going to show God gratitude or thankfulness in my life as the first step that he does. And here's what I want you to get. Here's why it's so important. God never told Noah, I need you to build an altar. I need you to sacrifice to me. I need you to be thankful to me for what I did. Nope, Noah, he comes out of the goodness of his heart, and he builds the altar. He gets the clean animals, and he sacrifices to God. If you read on the story in Genesis 21 and on through to chapter 9, God smells it and he says, this is a pleasing aroma to me. He loves Noah. And he worshiped. Noah did this out of the gratitude of his own heart. And here's something else I want you to be aware of. See, God hadn't given any commandments yet to worship at this point. But somehow Noah knew exactly what to do. To worship, to sacrifice unto God. To show gratitude to God for taking him through a year on a boat with his three sons and their wives and his wife. Think about that for a moment. And by the way, you get to the book of Exodus. You know, we're almost 1,000 years before God gave organized religion. When he said to the Israelites, this is what you're going to do at the Passover. Every year you're going to do this. Tell your children, remind them often of what happened in Egypt and what I did for you as the God. Right? From the time of Noah to the time we get to Exodus, they're saying roughly that it's approximately 1,000 years. But yet Noah understood with the heart that he had to worship God and be thankful for what God had done in his life. What happened to everybody else on earth when the flood came? Everyone perished. Everything perished in the flood. Noah showed gratitude to a God for the provision, the love, the answered prayers, and the goodness that God had shown him. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you, as a people of God, what kind of gratitude are you showing to God in your life? How does that look today? All right? And you're all in different places and where you're at in life, and that's okay, but I want to reflect on that in your own life. Now, here's something else I want to share with you this morning. Noah did not offer a sacrifice out of the need to have good fortune or desire to keep God happy or to appease him. That was not his motive. He offered the sacrifice out of a heart of gratitude. You know, for you and I, you need to realize that we are not born with a heart of gratitude. We are born to be selfish. We are born to want to keep things unto ourselves. It is God who changes your heart that gives you a heart of gratitude that will cause you to give, that will cause you to love others in a way that it's not normal for you and I. That's what happens when you follow God and you give your life to Christ. I want you to go back to the boat one more time with me this morning. All right? Now, if you're on that boat for a year, my question is what would have you done when you got off the boat? Now think about the boat. It's a dark place. They probably only had some sunlight that came in from I don't know where, but not very much. So it's pretty dark in there. I'm sure they had candles and they had some oil and things like that. And they walked around and they fed the animals and did whatever. They had a ship full of animals, and I bet it smelled really good in there, right? One year, can you imagine when you're sleeping at night, the noises that you might have heard, right? How many of you get perturbed when you hear things in the night that wake you up? Noah, he put up with this whole boat of animals, and I don't know when the rooster crowed, but whenever the bird sang and what that looked like, but he probably heard things often throughout that 356 days. Different noises and sounds. And then he's getting tossed around as he's floating out in the world. Winds, rains, and waves. And then the ark lands on the mountaintop. And you can walk out into fresh air. Can you imagine what would your first step or action be in this new world? Would it be to build an altar and say thank you to God? Or maybe this is your attitude. Man, I'm sure glad that that is over. Right? Do you see the difference? Some of us might be in a place today where we're like, man, I am sure glad that this is over. And we don't show any gratitude for the things that God's done in our lives. I'm done with this boat and these animals. God, you take it from here. Right? Have we found ourselves in that place in life? And I think we do from time to time. And Thanksgiving is like that place in our lives once a year where we get to stop and we get to reorient our mind to how we're living our lives. Just like when somebody we know that's significant passes away, it can reorder the way that you live your life. And I think that for Thanksgiving, that does the same thing with us with a heart of gratitude. So let's talk about how God responds to Noah in this gratitude. God understood that Noah leaving the ship and offering a sacrifice was more than a sacrifice. If you want to know more about the story, go home and read beyond Genesis 8, verse 21 into chapter 9. You'll get to see what God does. But I'm going to share just a few things with you this morning with that. As the aroma of Noah's sacrifice drifted up to the Lord, his heart was touched. And in turn, he said, I will never again curse the ground because of man's evil heart or kill every creature. And then it said on the end of that verse, God blessed Noah. God bless Noah. Now, blessing Noah was not a response to anything that Noah had earned, right? He wasn't this great ship captain that kept the morale high and the animals well fed and fed and stuff. It wasn't because of that. It wasn't a response because Noah was obedient, although blessings do come from being obedient to God in our lives. No. Noah received his blessing because he chose to worship and show gratitude, which pleased the Lord. That's what he did. He chose to practice gratitude, to be thankful. We choose the grace that God has freely offered us, and then you and I get to offer it back. How many of you in here have received grace in your life? Right? Every hand should go up. So what are you doing to pass that grace along as you live life? That's what gratitude looks like. And it's more than just a thank you. It's an act, right? On this previous slide, I said actively showing gratitude, right, to others. It's visible in our lives and the way that you and I live. I want to share a story with you this morning. This is a true story that I came across, and you can actually go on the internet, and you can find the recording of this conversation, the story that I'm going to share you with here this morning. So there was a police officer that was responding to a man threatening to jump off of a high-rise building. And as he stood on the ledge, this officer arrived at the scene, and there are many other officers there as well. And the guy on the ledge kept repeating, no one loves me, no one cares about me, and nobody cares if I die. And he kept saying that over and over and over. And that cop was standing there on the side with him, and he could tell that this guy was serious, he was broken, he was hurting, and he was pretty sure at any moment he was just going to step off the ledge of the building and fall to his death. And as he witnessed this, he started to understand the man's pain. And he said, all he could think about in that moment was, is that I love this guy. I care for this man deeply. And he didn't even know who he was. And he stated this to them. He verbalized this. Don't jump because I love you. You are loved, is what he said to him. You're not alone. There are so many people that love you in the world that we live in. And he said, I care for you and I love you. And the officer said this over and over to this guy. And believe it or not, this guy turned from the ledge and he fell into that cop's arms, just sobbing and broken because somebody actually said to him, I love you, and they cared for him in his life. And then afterwards, the reporters, they asked him, why did you feel this way toward a man that you didn't even know, that you love him so deeply? And he said this, it broke my heart to see him feel so unloved. And of course, this is a Christian police officer. And he said this as the next statement, which I think is so powerful. Because I am loved, I could love him. You need to know that every one of you are loved by your Creator and your Savior today. You are greatly loved for who you are. That's God's grace. That's God's grace poured out in this man's life that saved another man's life. So when you and I receive God's grace in our life, you want to naturally express it. It comes out of you. You know, and we have to refine that a little bit, and we have to work with that a little bit of what gratitude should look like in our lives. But it is a natural response, and you find yourself in situations where you're just joyous and you're thankful for things that God has done in your life. It is a natural expression. And I don't know how it'll come out or how it'll be used or where it will go or when it will come out. But I need you to know that when you allow gratitude to come out in your life in that way, you will be fully alive in Christ. You will have a life of significance and deep meaning that your soul is searching for. That's what you'll have. Now remember all those things that I talked to you about this morning that we could be thankful for? The homes we live in, the businesses that we have, our jobs, the money that God gives us to live on, and so on, all the blessings of family that we have around us. But I want you to recognize God's grace today on this Thanksgiving Day. And then I want you to look at your life today. How are you living the rest of the days of your life throughout this next year? Are you showing gratitude, right? Do you have gratitude? And what are you doing with it? My challenge to you this morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we see the life of Noah. We see the life of your people, the Israelites. You call us to worship. Lord, we worship out of the goodness of our hearts. You call us to worship, but Lord, it's also a response from our hearts. So we gather here today not under our own understanding, but Lord, your spiritual life that wells up inside of us that is a natural response. Lord, may you fill us with joy and gratitude this Thanksgiving. And Lord, if we're lacking that in our lives, may you call us to that. Maybe some of us need more of that in our lives to bring us joy and happiness. So Lord, may you just work in our hearts in a great way. We thank you for the work that you've done in us. And Lord, we look forward to the work that you'll continue to do in our lives from day to day. Lord, may we be thankful today. In Jesus I pray, amen.